Think of all the commotion in America, in Cambodia, in Vietnam, in the Middle East, and now in Cyprus. I think all these Mainers should be sent back to take a special postgraduate course or something. But anyway, that is getting away from the subject. So the answer is that you can go as high as your capacity will allow, and there is no reason at all why you should not reach the top and reach Buddhahood. That is what Buddhism is about, anyway. Can we of this physical plane learn of and effectively use astrology for the good of the living? If so, what is the true source of astrological teachings? Many, many years ago, astrology was extraordinarily accurate because it was founded on a new science, the influence of the stars on objects of this earth. Humans, animals, plants, etc. had been predicated, and those assumptions were accurate so long as the zodiac remained as it was when the assumptions were made. Now, a few thousand years later, the zodiac is different and the predictions, the forecasts are all wrong. I personally believe that astrology as it is in the West nowadays is just a waste of time. It is utterly inaccurate for the simple reason that no allowance has been made for the difference in the configuration of the zodiac. In the very Far East, such allowances have been made and the horoscopes there are very, very much more accurate. I know this. Everything that was predicted for me by astrologers in the very Far East has come true, every darn thing. I have had my horoscope done several times in the West and each time the predictions could hardly have been more incorrect. They might have been doing a horoscope for a different person. Their efforts have proved to be ludicrous. So I always tell people that in my considered opinion, and based on my own experience with astrologers in the West, it is just a waste of time to have one's horoscope done. People are always writing to me asking that I should do their horoscopes and at least one incarnation, and I always refused because to do a horoscope properly takes a very considerable time and I do not have that time. I have been offered quite remarkable sums of money to do a horoscope, but I always without exception refuse. People seem vastly interested in getting at least one incarnation told. But why? If people are on this earth now living through this life now, what does it matter what they were in the past? All that matters is what they are now and what they are going to be in the future, and if a person just squanders time thinking about the glories of the past, etc., etc., ad lib, then they end up with a chip on their shoulder and think, oh, I was Cleopatra's grandmother in the last life and now look at me, what am I? A cleaning lady. Hey. I like this one. Do you have an opinion on the martial arts? Is it possible for Americans to study the form of judo, karate, or whatever the martial form was that you were taught in Tibet? In the Far East, the martial arts so-called were not for the purpose of disabling people nor were they for defense. They were, instead, designed as a mental, mystical, and spiritual discipline. After all, the more colorful you are, the more your conscience tells you to be gentle, the more you have been trained about the body, the more you can look after your own body. So people who think they are going to take a correspondence course in judo, for instance, and then beat up the bully who kicks sand at them when they are on the beach, well, they are in for a shock. For instance, I do not think that these arts can be taught properly by correspondence, nor by any young punk who thinks he is going to set up a physical training school. There is more to it than that. There is always the danger, too, that you try to disable someone who is perhaps 10 or 20 lessons ahead of you, as I have stated previously in this book. You could indeed collect your lumps that way. So my own recommendation is that going in for this martial arts stunt is useless if you want it just for defense. No judo or karate is useful against a gun, is it? Especially when the bullet is already speeding toward you. Well, Kathy Porter, I will answer your questions. Sorry, I have already answered some of them, but I will answer another. Is it wise to pray to our over-self for direction or guidance and that things, mainly of the occult and spiritual, be revealed to us as we can accept and understand them? Yes, Kathy. You can always pray to your over-self. Your over-self knows everything that has ever happened to the over-self. But look at it like this: you are employed herein, where shall we say? America, and your big boss is living in, oh, let's say Sydney, Australia. Now, if you want to get in touch with your boss, you have to use a letter or a telephone. Let's cut out the letter because you can't send a letter to your overself, and your big boss is the equivalent of your overself. So that leaves us with the telephone, and if you have ever tried to telephone halfway across the world, you will have discovered that it is a frustrating, time-wasting, patience-consuming experience. And then half the words you might have to guess. Your subconscious is like a librarian. The librarian doesn't need to know much herself. Her chief value isn't that she knows where to find certain information. So a librarian can be consulted about any problem, and if she is a good librarian, she can tell you just where to look, what type of book will give the information that you need. She will also tell you where the book is on the library shelves. The subconscious is like that. The subconscious is a pretty dim sort of individual. But he or she knows exactly how to get the information you want, so if you get in touch with your subconscious, you will find you get results far more quickly than if you waste energy trying to contact your overself. It is much quicker to look up a thing in your local library than to telephone somebody in Australia or Timbuktu or Tuscaloosa, or somewhere else. There is a very modest lady who lives in Barcelona, Spain. She has some questions, but she prefers not to have her name mentioned. So I will just give my greetings to Senora D. and answer some questions from her. Are the foreigners of the New World leader already making propaganda or preparing for him? Even according to the Christian Bibles, this is a time, Revelations, when there shall be false prophets. In other words, translated into modern day language, this poor old world of ours is in a horrible mess. All the standards and values are tumbling down around us, and there is always some smart aleck ready to make a fast buck by pretending to be a world leader. So it is, we sometimes find that some people with ample money will sponsor a young punk and pretend that he is the new messiah or the new god or something else, and these moneyed men who hunger more and more for more and more money will put on quite a show with all the theatrical trappings, jet planes, fast cars, etc., trying to delude the unwary or the ignorant into paying money to join a special movement. After a time, the young punk grows up a bit and he wants a say in his own affairs, and unless the moneyed people can control him, he does things which his followers find incompatible with his professed aims. Sometimes, too, the fellow goes to another country and the tax collectors of the country seize a few of his millions or won't let him out of the country until he does pay a few millions. Sometimes a fellow will go around and find that his aircraft has been seized because it wasn't his and it had been taken out of the country. My own strong recommendation is that no one be taken in by these cultists, these advertising people who claim that they and they only are the true God, the new Messiah, the new leader, the guru of all gurus, etc. You want to look behind the facade and ask yourself, well, what are these people getting out of it? Why all the big advertisements? If they were genuine, they wouldn't need to advertise, people would still know and would come flocking to the holy banner. Cults. Those who form cults are, in my opinion, the scum of the earth because they lead away the gullible and deny them a chance of really getting knowledge. Hey, getting fierce, aren't I? You didn't know I could be fierce in my old age, did you? Never mind. It's a good thing to let off steam sometimes, because if I can shock some of you into staying away from the cults, then it will be to the good of your own spiritual health. It is a shame that we don't know more about those extraordinary men, the Lama Minyadon Up and the great 13th Dalai Lama. The Lama Minyadon Up is, indeed, a great entity who is now, of course, far beyond the earth sphere. He is not incarnated but is, instead, on a much higher plane of existence, and he is actually trying to help other worlds, plural. He is not concentrating solely on this earth but on a whole group of inhabited worlds where they are having trouble, where selfishness is growing like weeds in a garden. Some of us true lamas believe that the great 13th was the last of the Dalai Lamas. We believe that if the present incumbent to that office had been a true Dalai Lama, he would have done more to help the people of Tibet. After all, when a man just says he is a religious leader and he is praying well, Anyone can pray. It needs more than a few prayers to free a country from communist aggressors, communist invaders. It needs an actual physical example. It might even mean martyrdom for a leader of a country, because if a leader of a country stays and fights with his people and sometimes force is justified, then his people will not be faint-hearted when they have a well-loved leader to lead them. The great 13th was such a man, one who would have stayed with his people. But you can't fight against death, can you? Chapter 9. I have just had my very meager meal, and that reminds me of a question which arrived only yesterday, barely in time for this book. Is it, because it's going ahead? Anyway, I had a letter yesterday. Please write another book. And please put in something about fasting. What do you think about fasting? Should people fast? What harm can it cause anyway? So I can only reply, glory be, Mrs., I've been fasting for years. Seriously, though, fasting with brains is a very good thing indeed, provided you take some common sense precautions. For example, you don't go fasting if you are diabetic, you don't go fasting if you've got certain types of heart disease. But if you are in average good health, then it really does help to fast at times, provided you don't have to do a full day's work at the same time. You would not have an automobile and expect it to work if the fuel tank was empty, so why should you expect your own human body to work when there is no feed left for it to draw upon? Normally it is perfectly safe to fast when you have a vacation, because when you have a vacation you can rest more, you do not have to run for the bus, you do not have to put on an extra spurt of work when the boss glances in your direction, you can do it in your own time. So if you are going to fast, make sure that you are in reasonably good health and do not have any of those diseases or complaints such as diabetes, because you can upset yourself by fasting if you are diabetic. Assured on these points, then you should make sure that your internal plumbing is in good order and that you are not suffering from hold up in the rear delivery department. You should take a mild laxative so that you are fairly empty inside. Then you stop eating, but you do not stop drinking. If you are fasting, you would be well advised to take anything which the medical profession calls a clear liquid diet. Plenty of water, fruit juices, but nothing of a solid nature whatever, not even milk, because milk is too solid for this purpose. Now, do not think that you are going to fast and suck candies. That is not fasting, that is cheating, that is making the whole thing a farce. So stop eating, do quite a bit of resting. You can read, listen to radio or watch TV, but no gallivanting off to the cinema or to the pub or to anything of that nature. If you do, you will deplete your fat resources faster than will be comfortable. You see, if you are going to fast, your body has got to keep on working, and the only way it can keep on working is to gradually absorb the stored up food in your body cells, that means in your fat cells, and if you go racing around, going out on social occasions or doing manual work, then you will lose weight too quickly and will definitely risk collapse. To give you an idea of what I am talking about, let me tell you that of late there have been an astonishing number of really obese people who have had an operation to short circuit perhaps 6 or 10 feet of their intestines, so they do not absorb their food so much. If too much of the intestine has been short circuited, then the person loses weight too rapidly and all sorts of strange things happen. There was one woman weighing over 300 pounds. I think she weighed about 350 pounds, actually, and she had 10 feet of intestine short-circuited. She was moaning and groaning with dismay because she lost weight so rapidly that she felt dreadfully ill most of the time, and her flesh was draped about her in folds, which is not a good thing for a lady who has some pride in her appearance. Go carefully, then, if you are going to fast. Stop eating and stop working, rest a lot. And by rest it is meant that you should not go out and do shopping or go to entertainments. If you want to fast and get all the benefits of fasting without any of the drawbacks, you will have to forego not merely food but mobility. You need a lot of fluid, otherwise you will become dehydrated, and if you are dehydrated you will affect your health very badly. It is a horrible thing to happen to one. Certain people with poor health find that if they do fast their liver becomes affected, So make sure that your health is good enough before you go in for any of these things like fasting. How long should you fast? Well, until you start seeing things, if you like. You can go 4 or 5 days without food with much good result. Before I went into hospital this last time, I was without any food at all for just over 10 days, and when I got in the hospital I was without food for a few more days. It didn't do me any harm. So you can only say that you fast so long as you feel the need to fast. You should not fast more than 4 or 5 days without taking the advice of your doctor, and if he is the ordinary crummy type of fellow who can see no further than his medical textbooks, he will tell you straight out that you are crazy to fast, but that is because he's never done it. But, for your own protection, you should always get medical advice if you are going to fast for more than 4 or 5 days. When you start to eat after, well, don't just gulp down half a cow or you will have all sorts of troubles, indigestion and all the rest of it, and very bad indigestion it will be. When you are fasting, your stomach shrinks. It shrinks to the size of a small egg because there is no reason why it should be distended if you are not taking in food. Well, after 5 days or so your stomach is the size of a small egg, and it has become used to being that size. So if you suddenly get sick of fasting and cram down a whole load of stuff, then your stomach will have to distend far more than it likes doing, so you will get pain, and your intestines will have shrunk through having no material inside, and the intestines, too, will have to stretch enormously. Believe me, if you go and gormandize after 5 days of fasting, you will get more aches and pains than you thought possible from such a simple thing. After a fast, take very light meals. Milk and a few biscuits. Next day take a bit more. But do not go back to your normal food intake until about 3 or 4 days after. In that way you will get good results from your fast, but contrarywise, if you go and stuff after a fast, you will get all harm which will make your fast useless. Now here is something I am going to tell you. I've got a letter here and the writer says, I have several times attempted to visit you in the astral. I always see someone who slightly resembles you but who is quite weird indeed. The person always attempts to play the part of you, but they are quite poor actors. Perhaps you are too busy doing other things in other worlds to be seen. Perhaps before this letter is completed you might be visited by me, even though I am still in the prehistoric stage of astral traveling. My dear madam, I am delighted to tell you that I have an effective barrier so that people cannot visit me in the astral unless I want them to. You see, I get lots of people, literally lots, who tell me they are going to visit me in the astral, and if they all could do so then I should have no privacy, I should have no time to myself, and would you like a crowd of people visiting you when you were in the bath, for example? I do not. So through knowledge which was given to me many years ago, I have been able to make a barrier which means that I cannot be visited by any earth person unless I am willing to be so visited. You have seen mischievous entities such as people see at seances. I have written about this before, so there is no point in going into it in detail, but quite a lot of people in the tween worlds want to be humans. They are entities now, bundles of life force without much sentient thought. In fact, as I have already said, they are like mischievous monkeys. And if a person tries to visit me and I don't want to see them, then one of these mischievous entities will move in and pretend to be me. So if people try to visit me, they've only got themselves to blame. People send me all manner of demands that I should visit them. Some send me intricately marked maps or photographs showing precisely where they live, and they command me to appear at such and such a time. Well, of course, I do no such thing. Would you go flitting about in the astral just because some creep who has paid a few pence for a book thinks he or she has the right to dictate to the author? Pox to them, is what I say. There are only 24 hours in the day, and if I did obey these imperious demands, I should need 30 hours at least. Furthermore, these people have no conception of the difference in time. I live in a mountain time zone. But what about a person in Tokyo demanding my presence? There is quite a lot of difference in time, In fact, it is the next day. So why should I bother to work out what time it is in that other location or what day it is? No. People who demand who command my presence as though I were a slave of a lamp or something else, they've got another think coming. They might even have two thinks coming. It's quite amusing, too, because sometimes I get demands from people that I should instantly appear and find a pen which they have mislaid or a ring or a letter. Oh yes, I am perfectly sincere in that. I had a most imperial command just a short time ago. A person had put down something and couldn't find it, and she wanted it to wear that night, so she thought she could will me to come and I would instantly appear on the spot and produce the goods for her. Well, I think she should go back to reading Aladdin and his magic lamp, don't you? Or perhaps she should grow up instead. Here is something I am sure will make you laugh. I will copy it out for you now. Last night when I was astral traveling, I decided to go on a teaching spree. Suddenly as I was walking along, I noticed I had a beautiful orange saffron robe on. I was so thrilled. Astral clothes are so beautiful. I had decided I was going to teach some people when suddenly as I was walking along, the saffron robe disappeared and I was stark naked. My mind went blank. The last thing I remember is standing naked in the middle of a public building without any clothes on. Yes, that's what happens, you see. People go into these things without any preparation. This person did indeed get into the astral but forgot to keep a corner of the mind astral mind continually on her clothing, so as soon as she decided that she was going to teach some people who already knew more than she did, the little bit of her mind which should have been dealing with clothes switched off, and then well, she was embarrassed standing in the middle of this public building with, no doubt, quite a crowd of interested onlookers. Well, wouldn't you be interested as well if you suddenly saw a woman appear naked in front of you? The streakers nowadays seem to attract a lot of attention, so you judge for yourself what your reactions would be. This particular person wants me to mention her by name, but unfortunately I can't even read her name, and I can't read her address either because she didn't give any. So I can only refer to her as the nameless one. She also wants to know when will flying saucers start coming in great numbers. Well, actually, I shall be surprised if there are not more reports of flying saucers in the immediate future, and I am going to suggest something to you. Just think of this. You will have read from time to time that naval ships of Norway, Denmark, Sweden or somewhere else have bottled up a submarine in one of the fjords, and there is no possible way for it to escape. Fine, we read all about that, we hear all about it on the radio, and we are convinced that this unknown submarine which, it is hinted, must obviously be Russian is bottled up, it cannot escape. Warships of the United Nations are there in force with all their submarine detection gear, and they are ready to blow the submarine straight out of the water if it doesn't surrender. You've read about that in the newspapers, haven't you? You've heard it on the radio, haven't you? All right, now think of this. Did you ever hear of any result? Did you? I think you did not, because everything is hushed up. And I have reason to believe that there are UFOs which come from inside the Earth and which are able to navigate underwater just as submarines do, and I believe that these UFOs are sometimes detected by ships of different nations, but these UFOs can always escape. There was a prediction made many, many years ago to the effect that this year, 1974, there would be a confrontation between ships of the world and a UFO under the water. The prediction is to the effect that there would be a collision between a submarine and a UFO, and some of the UFO people would be rescued, and then it would be seen quite clearly that they were not humans as the term is understood on the surface of the Earth. Predictions could be a little time out, you know, so I really think something like that will happen in 1974 or 1975 if it has not already happened. I say, if it has not already happened, because it seems so strange to me that things are hushed up so much by governments. We hear that a submarine has been trapped, much commotion is caused, many reports are given, almost hour by hour reports, and then suddenly, nothing. Nothing more is said, Everything is forgotten. No matter what inquiries are made, no one knows anything about it anymore. It's just as if it did not happen. Now, if some aliens had been found and possibly rescued from a UFO, then, of course, the governments would step in and conceal all the knowledge from those who have a right to know the people until the governments concerned decided how the knowledge could be best turned to the advantage of the governments concerned. Here is another nice question: under what conditions can you gain access to the Akashic records to find out another person's future? You cannot if you are a normal human without very special lifetime training. The Akashic record of each person is closed and cannot be seen by any other human, normally, until the subject of that record leaves the earth and is in the Hall of Memories, where the poor wretch has to see it all and blush alarmingly with shame. I think this particular correspondent should go to a good eye specialist, because he writes, "Dr. Rampa, did you know that you have an amazing resemblance to King Faisal of Saudi Arabia?" "Yes, quite definitely. I state that there was a picture of King Faisal on a Time magazine, and you look just like him." "King Faisal, Your Majesty, may I offer you my humble apologies, because if you look like me, well, you sure have got a load on you. Personally, I don't see any resemblance except that King Faisal has two eyes, one nose, one mouth and two ears." "Yes, I have just that, two eyes, one nose, one mouth and two ears." "Oh yes, then of course there must be a resemblance. But then I think King Faisal has a lot more hair than I have. I am bald, in fact the flies use the top of my head as a skating rink in hot weather. Is it possible to have a physical or astral child as a result of astral intercourse?" "No, not a chance. Although to believe some of my correspondents, it not merely is possible but it does occur. For example, when I was living at Prescott, Ontario, many years ago, I had a woman write to me. I have never seen her, never been closer to her than a few hundred miles, and she told me that she was now pregnant by me and she was going to bear my child. According to her, I visited her in the astral and, let me be delicate, gave her the works. Well, that was certainly news to me. I seem to have missed all the fun because I certainly don't know anything about it." The poor lady didn't seem to realize that the husband with whom she sleeps and with whom she presumably does other things may have been more responsible than I was. But, anyway, I will tell you, no, it is not possible to go round in the astral impregnating women. Sorry to spoil your fun, but there it is, you can't do it. "Now this is a good question. It is. Sometimes I see small children who seem to be talking to themselves but who are really talking to someone. They usually stare as if they are looking directly at someone I can't see. They sometimes carry on long conversations. Who are they talking to? Nature spirits? Also, can little children see into the astral world at any time they wish?" "Of course these children are able to talk and see people in the astral. It is a simple matter indeed, because when a child is small their vibrations are higher, and so they can get in touch with people in the astral whose vibrations are lower. There are also special spirit friends who look after children. In other words, fairies are real, and not until stupid parents tell children that they mustn't tell lies and of course they don't see other people do the children lose the ability. In fact, parents are a child's worst friends. Parents too often think that they are omnipotent, the source of all knowledge. They try to dominate their children and they crush out and ruin natural abilities of the child. It is a very sad thing. It is adults who make it so difficult for astral people to contact this world. Do you want to smile? Well, what would you answer to a question like this? Why can't Buddhist monks get married? Let me answer that with a question. The question is, why cannot Catholic priests get married? Obviously because it is a facet of the religion, of the religious discipline. Many churches, not merely Christian churches, either, think that a man must devote his whole life to that religion. He must, in effect, marry the religion. Many churches, or many religions, believe that if a man marries, then his mind might be on other things, the attractions of his wife, for instance, and he would then not be able to give full-time attention to his religious duties. That is why Catholics and some other priests do not marry. But there are many Buddhist monks of different sects who do marry, just as there are many different types of Christian priests who do marry. Protestant priests marry, Catholic priests do not. It's just a matter of belief, and that is all there is to it.